CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today
is DJ Rockman,
better known as Vincent Banks.
Yes.
I love saying it with power.
Yes, the Banks, like Carlton.
Well, Banks just like is one of those names. I mean, again, yes, we talked about it, you know, with Philip Banks and all that, you know, all that bullshit. But it still has a weight to it. It's one of those like kind of names.
Yeah, it's just.
I mean, like, Viegas sounds foreign, like, Viegas, like, oh, he must be Spanish, whereas Banks sounds like,
Banks,
The best...
What is that, B?
The best last name I ever heard, and it was at work, it was, like, one of our clients, I think his last name was, like, Stronghouse or something like that.
Stronghouse.
Like, it was just, like, this, like, damn, that's, like, the most manly name ever.
So almost like a Full Metal Alchemist kind of, like,
yeah, I mean, it was definitely German, but it was just, like a German influence, but just, like, man, that sounds like... Like, you go around like, hi, my name is, like, yeah, this, you know, even if your first name is like, hi, my name is Bob Stronghouse. Like, oh, shit. That's Robert, you know, like that's like Robert the Bruce level of stuff. Like, you hear that kind of name, just like, oh, that just emanates, like, you know, ready to kick the shit out of things.
My favorite one is a buddy of mine. His last name is Postel. So, it, like, his name sounds like a serial killer name. So, like, hey, what's your last name, Postel? It's like, oh, yeah, white boy serial killer. There you go. Perfect. You can't go wrong with the white boy serial killer name.
White boys, like, I've never thought about that way. Like, there's certain names that are just like scream.
Like, it just sticks there, and you're like, okay.
Well, because like okay, if we go through our history of killer names that we can say off the top of our head, let's see, Timothy McVeigh. McVeigh does sound like the name of
McVeigh sounds like a.
That does sound like the name of a really cheesy '90s supervillain.
Yeah, McVeigh is pretty bad.
God, I can't believe
anything with Johnson at the end. Like, sounds just straight bad. Like, cause
well, Johnson.
Like, Johnson sounds like a creepo kind of serial killer. Like that.
It depends. Yeah, but the thing is, like, Johnson's such a common last name.
Like Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson sounds bad. Like,
okay, well, anything with, I think anything with, I think anytime you follow up, like if you're
like a JJ,
yeah, if you come up, yo JJ, okay, I guess it doesn't matter.
Like Michael Myers, Michael Myers. Like,
yeah,
AMM.
Anytime you have any kind of alliteration on a name, I think that's where you know I can either be playful depending on how
who
you
it is.
Well, depending on who it is, because again, if you know, if someone came like, yo JJ, like, hey, what's up JJ, how's it going, like, that's playful. But he goes, yo Jimmy, motherfucker owes you $100. What now?
Job tricking, sucker. What's wrong with you? Just started going straight 70s Black Dynamite.
God, that's what, again, I love those sort of day, like Jimmy is that name that depending on who has it, it can either be like, okay, this man means business, or oh that's a Jimmy.
Yeah, I got another buddy of mine. His last name is just, it throws me off because it was back in the day when we were playing football.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is like when I was in middle school. Last name is Coochie Tyler. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, it's Coochie Tyler, right? So, in the middle of a game, like, dude caught an interception and he's running, and Coochie's like, run, Coochie! Run! Run, Coochie! I'm like, oh my God. The worst thing I ever heard.
Please tell me it's like nickname.
No, that is his legit last name, Coochie Tyler.
Coochie Tyler, like Coochie Dash Tyler.
No, Coochie Tyler is one whole word.
How is that one whole?
Is
okay. Let's
wait. I'm gonna tell you this. Black folks. Simple as that.
Oh, okay.
think of Key and Peele East Bowl.
Yeah. Well, that okay. So let's address this now. For those who have no the fuck idea we're talking about. So, there was a show back in the day. Like, it was like back in like 2000 something or other. For those who are not familiar with Key and Peele, the greatest is Key and Peele. Just look up Key and Peele. You'll figure
it out. It's on Hulu.
One of the things that they would I think they did it like three times.
They did it Four times.
Was it four times?
Yeah,
okay.
Four times.
They this concept of what's called the East-West Bowl.
Yes.
So for those who do not watch any football, any American football, or gridiron for you Australians out there.
Yeah.
And I've been started going through all the ESPN 30 for 30, so I've started learning some things.
Yeah.
I now know a thing or two about football.
There you go.
But one of the things that I guess is just a thing is that everybody, like now because the way the NFL does it, they're like, all right, well, time to go through the lineup. And everyone goes their names, whatnot.
Yeah, they introduce themselves.
But for some reason, and again, last names are last names, so who knows where everything
is. And even first names. First names are, like, out of this world now. Out of this world.
Well, I learned that when, what's his face? From Mallrats. I forgot the actor's name. He's also in My Name is Earl.
Oh, the dude that was on Clerks as well. That was the computer geek.
Or whatever. But the guy, My Name is Earl. I forgot the actor's name. But I think he named his kid like Pilot Light Inspector or some bullshit like that.
Right.
Which is great. Because again, the best part about Hollywood names, I mean, Hollywood names are great. Like Northwest and. They're great because, again, that kid's going to have to go through, you know, thankfully that kid. Hopefully that kid will, that kid's parents will have enough money to send him to like homeschool or private school or something.
Bro.
Hopefully he won't have to socialize, because you want him to socialize until college at least.
You want him to socialize as early as possible so he can get used to dealing with that. Trust me, you don't want to do last minute because then we don't want no serial killer.
Oh my God, I want like
East West coming through.
Look,
East West is coming through. Oh crap! No, you don't want that.
Oh, well, we want that.
You want him. You want him to be well known that that's his name. Deal with it. That's who.
Look,
he is.
Look. Little North already has a little bit has plenty of other problems with Daddy being who Daddy is.
Pretty much.
We'll leave it at that. We may talk about that, but going back to that thing. So within the East West Bowl, they would make fun of the concept of everyone having these sort of strange, peculiar names. Not to say that names are bad, but just they would play it up to you know, if the dial is at usually at 7 or 8 for the last names, they would crank it to 11.
No, they crank it up to 25. Just the most ridiculous names you can ever think of. Like, my favorite one, because Key was saying it, and he you could tell he was laughing in the middle of the first one. It was the first one. It was Jafar's.
Yeah, so that.
But the way he said it, you see him smiling, almost not trying to laugh.
I think
saying that name.
I think
so
my mine was Pismo Funyuns.
Oh, Bismo Funyuns. Yes, Bismo Funyuns.
Well, because I love it because like they would all be varying degrees of okay, that sounds like a real name to I don't know what the fuck that is, and it could get to the point where it's just like. Random mechanical sounds.
Oh yeah, when it was like construction noise. Yeah, like, yeah, and E, it was just nothing but E's. Like he's just accidentally pushed E all day on the keyboard. It was funny. Like,
and they'd be from all different universities. You know, whatever. You know, and be like, you know, okay, Missouri U. You know, this one.
But what's funny is like there is actually a legit person's name that is named LaDasha, and it's L-A. LaDasha, literally, it is. It's like popping a bottle of Lone Star for anybody that knows about Lone Star Beer, and looking at the bottle cap and trying to understand what it means. Her name is LaDasha.
Okay,
and it was like, oh god, that
so,
is
so my,
ridiculous.
Okay, so I'm gonna give a little bit of a history of my name. Just make it that, and we'll ask history your name. I'm named after my father and my grandfather. I'm assuming there's something similar in terms of like how your parents came about naming you Vincent. There's some they didn't just, you know, even if they thought it was a good name, even if they thought about it.
Well, let's go full name if you want to do it like this. It's Vincent, and my middle name that throws everybody off because it's Vincent Banks, right?
Right.
Middle name is DeMarier.
It's okay.
I know, but it's just hilarious because people are like.
It's okay. You can say Vincent D. Banks. Middle name you can go a bit crazy with. You know, that's fine. Like I'm technically like the reverse of how usually the name is supposed to go. But the point being, your parents thought about, you know, what are we gonna name our child? He's coming into the world. How about we call him, you know, Vincent? Vincent's a very that, you know, it could be like a father, a grandfather.
No.
Well, I'm saying, like that there was thought put behind the name Vincent.
Yeah, it was. It was, but I mean, like, as of me knowing.
Right.
That.
The point being,
mm-hmm.
How much thought do you think went into the name LaDasha? How much thought? Let's go with
how much did they smoke? That is what we should be asking the question of.
Because that's what I think when I hear those kind of names, where it's just like, I understand that you want your kid's name to be unique and stuff like that, and I get it.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
how do you deal with the name? How do you deal with the name LaDasha?
How do you land on the name LaDasha? Let's assume that they put some forethought into it. How do you as a father go, yeah, my son LaDasha? Like, how do you I mean, I'm glad he turned out to be an NFL player and is you know, has figured out a way through life, and that's awesome. And
still didn't change the name. Could have changed the name.
Right. He figured out his way through life, and that's totally cool. I'm glad that he's figured it out.
Well, I mean, I can understand it, because think about it. We have a basketball player named Meta World Peace.
I
completely changed his name to Meta World Peace, but still beating up people.
That's fine. He changed his name. That is on him. He thought that was a good idea.
He had a normal concept name, and he literally switched it to Meta World Peace.
Right.
And still beat. You can't name yourself World Peace when you're beating somebody else.
No. Again, that's on him. He made that conscious effort as an adult to change his name, is fine. If you make that conscious effort as an adult to change your name to something ridiculous, fine. That's on you. You're a grown man.
It's the same way for me. My last name wasn't supposed to be Banks.
Okay.
It's supposed to be something else. So it's like, I came out and like, oh, I'm a Banks. But even though I should be King.
Okay.
That should be my legit last name. But it's
that's still not, again,
yeah.
There are certain things that are, again, if I'm an adult, for example, and I always remember with Jeff Ramsey, like, he was changing his last name because he sort of associated more with his stepfather.
Yeah.
And when he found out when it came to changing the name that it didn't cost anything extra to change anything else, he changed his middle name to Laser. You know, so he's Jeff Laser Ramsey, which is okay. You're a grown man. You do whatever the fuck you want. I will not judge you for that. If you're a parent, though, you know, you're essentially saying, this is what's going to be on your birth certificate when you get your passports.
Yeah.
You know, when they get their driver's license for the first time, when they sign up for school. This is going to be on a Scantron times.
I wouldn't even say LaDasha. I would be like, hey, Dasha, come here.
A teacher's going to have to say this name. A sub's going to fuck it up. You know,
or do like Key and Peele and say, hey, Aaron, and it's supposed to be Aaron. What's up, Aaron? Yeah, we can. Like, I actually had some two teachers mess up my name, and I was like, it ain't hard to say Vincent. Or you want to say Vince? You can call me Vince.
Yeah, again, screwing it up, I'm like, Vincent, like, okay, that's a bit weird. But, like, again, if you're going to come and you're introducing this kid into this world.
Yeah, it's,
and, you, and you're saying, like, hi. It's like, what are you going to name him? LaDasha.
LaDasha.
Like, that's that's the first thing that came to mind. You might want to revise that a few times.
Yeah.
Because, again, you have – and if it's like, I don't want to know what the sex of the kid is, even you have as a parent, like, what are we going to name the kid? Like, I had my friend Charles recently had a kid, and I had asked him before he had it, just like, okay, you know, have you guys thought of a name? It's like, yeah, we thought about this, and we thought – you know, when we found out it was boy, we had this. But they had two names sort of, you know, ready, locked, and loaded. You know, like, in other words, we're going to name the kid this. Even my parents had, like, if it's you know, a girl, we'll name him this. If it's a boy, we'll name him this. Like, you have those two names, you know, lock and load. You have at least 9 months to figure this thing, you know, figure it out. And if after 9 months you figure it out, you land on LaDasha. I mean, I guess you could use it for – I guess if it's just like, is that for the boy or the girl? Both. Because it could work. Because it's ridiculous enough
You do not want a dude named LaDasha because, I mean, don't get me wrong. LaDasha might come out very, you know, flamboyant, understandable, fine and dandy. But like, if you do get a very strong, like, workout,
you have to like rock that, like you have those two options. As a kid.
Maybe that's why he became an NFL player. I would tell people to call me Dash.
Maybe that's why he became an NFL player. Like,
that's
like, because if you saw a big, you know, big muscly motherfucker just like, what, you know, so what's your name? LaDasha. All right, LaDasha, it's cool. Like, you wouldn't question that, man. If a man came up to you,
because that sounds like he will kill you
exactly,
in your sleep.
Exactly.
That sounds like another serial killer
right,
name.
Right, exactly. LaDasha, like, what's your name? LaDasha.
LaDasha is the black serial killer name. How about that? Postel is the white one. LaDasha is the black one. That
out,
is what we
again,
choose
if you,
it as.
If you come out, it's like, you know, what's your name, boy? Rachel. Rachel it is. All right. Fuck it.
Well, there's people named Chris that aren't that are females and vice versa. So
right, but I'm saying like if you have a very obscure name.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, obscure names is one thing. Like, you can have obscure name and it's like, oh, that sounds regal. That sounds, you know, good.
Yeah.
But if you come up with like LaDasha, like if a scrawny kid named LaDasha came out, just like, yeah, that kid's gone. That kid has that's good. It's gone. He's gone. He's got two options in life. He either A, has to just like, all right, fine, I got to double down on this and just, you know, figure out a creative way to use this, go into music, you know, go into something different where it's like, it won't matter what your name is.
Yeah.
Or B, you just become the hardest motherfucker.
That is true.
Because you go in there. It's like, what's, you know, again, if you saw a just giant muscular, you know, fucking bouncer type guy.
Hey, I'm LaDasha.
It's like, I guess he's LaDasha. You know, you cannot. Because again, you say like LaDasha.
Right.
You're gone.
I just
poof. Compressed into like a small little disc.
I like messing with people with my last name because I like doing Droopy the Dog voice. So I'm like, my last name is Banks. Oh no.
But that's,
I like to joke around like that with
Droopy
the
Dog.
Right.
And that's fine, but Banks again, it's only because of Fresh Prince is there, you mean like
that is very easy for people for drunken people when they're like, exactly. I mean, at shows and they're like, last name is Banks. I'm like Carlton. Okay.
But again, but that, like, that's not like Carl, like, God, what was the actor's name for Carlton again?
Alfonso
Rivera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alfonso's another one of those names that you have to like, you know, that can go either way.
Alfonso sounds like a perfect porn name.
I can go either way. It's a very, very fluid name. But you know. LaDash, I wonder how do you land on that?
So how about this? Let's change the subject.
Yeah, let's change the subject.
So this, I got to get this out. What did you think about the new Ghost in the Shell trailer?
Okay, for those who have no idea, Ghost in the Shell is a movie. Even though I think everyone knows. I'm hopeful. And that's about all I am.
I can't.
I can't.
I put it like this. I'm a huge Ghost in the Shell fan.
Oh, please. You're in a cyberpunk household, my friend. Ghost in the Shell is like sacred here.
Yes. I'm a huge fan. I did not like the Shipwreck. I understand, yes, you can be a cyborg. I understand that you wanted Scarlett Johansson, but there are plenty of amazing Japanese actresses that can play a person named Makoto Kusanagi. That's
like I said, I'm hopeful on a So my big problem with the trailer, and I'm hopeful in that it'll do its best to try to do the work justice. At least they had the common decency of looking at the anime and saying, well, we can recreate some of these shots, which is cool.
Yeah. And there was somebody did a side by side comparison with the anime, and that was cool.
I already I've watched Ghost in the Shell so many times. Like, I go, oh, that's from the anime. Oh, that's from the anime. Like, I already know all of these shots in the, you know, without fail.
You know. And I want to see that because, like, don't get me wrong, Bato actually looks pretty decent.
Yo, yeah.
But Bato is actually supposed to be bigger and bulkier.
Bato always had sunglasses on. Like, some type, like, you never saw his eyes. Like,
Those are his legit eyes.
Oh, okay, those are his eyes. Okay.
Bato's eyes, that's how his eyes are.
Okay, period. I never could quite tell. Yeah. It was always, like, that kind of weird.
Yeah, no, it's always, his eyes have always been like that. But what I'm saying is Bato is actually a taller person.
Yes.
He's pretty big. He's not short. Like, Major shouldn't be almost taller than him. Like, he should be taller than a Major. No ifs, ands, or buts. But I want to see, I mean, people are like, we're going to go see the theaters. I was like, I'm iffy of going to the theaters to go see that in particular. Now, on the other hand, I seen Rony Kenshin, and I seen all three of them. And Rony Kenshin is pretty fucking close to the anime. It's just as violent as the Rony Kenshin anime.
Right.
It's like Samurai X violent.
Right.
And by far, like, that is my favorite anime to live action adaptation by far.
Like I said, I'm going to. I always suspend judgment just to give it a shot. Because again, I know. Yeah. You know, the one thing we rarely talk about when it comes to Hollywood yeah. movies, and only if you're in, you know, even reviewers really talk about this, but it is a business, and at the end, you have to make money because someone fronted you, you know, $100 million,
and they
want that money back.
And there's no knock, there's no knock on it at all.
And again, that's just the business of it all, and
it's just, like I said, Ramen Kitchen made a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
It made a ton of money itself, even in Japan, and it had worldwide
spread. Yeah, I'm suspending judgment in that I've yet to see the movie. I'm hoping Scarlett Johansson did a great thing. I just hope they do a good movie. You know, I agree that there's plenty of Asian actresses out there that could have played those roles. I totally agree, and I totally think that's kind of dick. I do understand why they did it. I wish they'd be honest about it and just say, like, look, man, we got to make money for this, and not a whole lot of name. Like, again, they're not going to do that because they say that's what we got to do. You know, that's going to be like, you know. A lot of people in the industry know that that's the reason, and we know that that's the case, but no one's ever said it out loud to be like, that's why we did it, because, you know, it's what makes, you know,
because,
money.
Yeah, and because the thing is, like I said, with that, you have plenty of actors in the movie itself that are great Japanese actors. I mean, you have the Japanese actor from Battle Royale. Amazing Japanese/English actor. You can get great Japanese actors, but you can get a lot of Asian groups. That's why I feel like, oh, you fucked it up.
For me, I can see
if you did Cowboy Bebop, that wouldn't be whitewashing because Spike Spiegel is a white kind of type dude.
Right.
He's a white dude. That's no offense, but that's fine, you know. Now, if you get Ed, you have to get a Middle Eastern kind of girl, you know.
There is, it's one of those things that, like, I mean, Ghost in the Shell, I say it's difficult because, again, I'm so on the fence. Like, I'm going to give it the benefit, you know. The trailer didn't necessarily inspire me to go watch it as a movie.
No.
But it didn't necessarily inspire me to go like, oh, that looks like a piece of shit. It's like, okay, they're doing something. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something.
Like I said, it's interesting. And then, like, I'm not a big fan of the bodysuit. I understand that they wanted to try to do the bodysuit. But if you're going to do a bodysuit, do the, you know, standalone complex bodysuit if you're going to go that route.
Right.
But in original Ghost of the Cell, she did go straight naked. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But I understand you're not going to have your actor.
From what I understand, it's sort of, the movie is, for lack of better words,
it's PG, right?
Well, no, it's like, it. From what I understand, this is what I'm hearing, is that it's a combination of like one of the key storylines in standalone complex, and the movie, like, all rolled into one somehow.
So you're overclashing.
Like, again, I have no clue. Well, I'm holding opinion until movie officially comes out and I watch it. But when it was already getting planned, I was like, okay, this is going to be a bit difficult to do. Well, only because we live as bad as it sounds. And I mean, and Ghost in the Shell, you could argue, inspired things like this. But we live in a post-Matrix world.
Yeah,
you know, we live.
And Ghost in the Shell did.
I mean, right, and again, we're also kind of far removed from that idea of a movie. You know, in that, like, I don't know how. Again, I don't know how you can take, and not because I don't think the movie is not going to, you know, that Ghost in the Shell is not great. It's amazing anime. It's just at times when it gets serious, it gets really serious and starts talking about, you know, different things and stuff like that. Yeah. And a lot of times they tend to gloss over those things when it comes to, you know, mainstream Hollywood movies. Not to say that there's not those elements in those movies. They tend to just gloss them over.
Yeah, but with Ghost in the Shell, that's what I'm saying. Ghost in the Shell is a very complex show. Like, that's why I love it. It's complex. It's
for
like,
sure, yeah.
You have to understand it. You have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't have a problem with them making a movie. It's just there are concepts. Like, if you're going to, like, go, because, like, even with the trailer, it was, like, trying to show its past. If you're going to do the past, then you have to do Ghost in the Shell Arise, which Arise, well, barely just came out not too long ago, a couple years ago, you know, won all three movies of Arise. So you're like stepping on waters on that end, and then you're trying to mash in Standalone Complex, and then you're trying to stand, you know, mash in the original.
Yeah.
It's going to be too many plot points. It's going to be that typical Hollywood multiple plot points.
Like I said, I'm holding opinion.
I want to withhold it, but it's just.
Oh yeah, don't get wrong. There's always a back third of like, I'm withholding opinion, but I know how Hollywood does it, and that's not a bad thing. That is just the nature of the market. If that's what you know, hopefully it works, because you know, for them, this is like the, as silly as it sounds, this is the test.
Yeah.
Can we license anime stuff? And maybe they can, maybe they can't.
And that's why I say, like, personally, people need to watch Rurouni Kenshin. Because Rurouni Kenshin, really, in the beginning, talks about the Butosai, and how the Samurai X days were, right? They had a little, it showed, like, for example, not too much of a
spoiler. I always liked it about Rurouni Kenshin was that, like, oh, who's this friendly guy? Oh, he used to kill every last motherfucker in the room.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And see, the thing is, the movie plays that same transition where it's like, all right, cool. You know, he had his war, and he's like, "I'm done. I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore." You know, that's just for part one of the three trilogy movie, and it's just really cool that they do that. It's like, you got it. You get to the point. Done. You know who he is. Now let's go into what's going on now. This is who he is, and this is what he's trying to learn.
But even then, like Rurouni, I mean, and this is not to say Rurouni Kenshin's not a complex series.
Yeah.
But the story itself, you know. You have the ability to. I mean, the problem is that like Rurouni Kenshin, that story has been told cinematically before.
Yeah.
In the idea of the wandering samurai.
Yeah.
You know, if we go back through, you know, even you know, I mean, on a lot of westerns ape from, you know, Japanese kind of tradition, anyways.
Yeah.
You know, we have the lone hero, the wandering cowboy, the wandering samurai, the person's like. That goes from town to town and, you know, dispenses justice, you know, according. And that's boiling down Rurouni Kenshin to like this, you know, very, very, you know, singular thing. Because then there's always, you know, companions with them. And the companions are, you know, like, you know, colorful and whatnot. And again, it's not to say Rurouni Kenshin isn't great. It's just me saying that's a pretty easy thing to adapt into a Hollywood framework, because you don't have to play with a whole lot of things. You don't have to explain too much. You know, a lot of those things have been built into.
Yeah,
us as Americans and us as sort of moviegoers.
Yeah, well, I mean, but also you have to understand, like, from the anime, understanding abilities, right? As of how he was, like, how the anime is, how they have like some of these ridiculous attacks and abilities in the movie. You don't get that, but you still get that feel of it, like of you beating him, beating somebody, or the other person beating him. Like, it goes through the Kyoto arc when, you know,
right.
The fire. If you know the anime itself, it's going through the Kyoto battle, which is really good. Really good arc. It was amazing. And literally, it damn near follows that to the teeth. And that's why I'm saying, like, for a live anime turned into a live-action movie, and you still had a full Japan cast that were amazing cast.
Yeah.
Everybody acted the way they should. Like, even a supporting cast acted that style. You did everything just on point, and it was. And I mean, each movie is 2 to 3 hours a piece,
right?
Well worth it. And it's like, I think they could have went that route personally with Ghost in the Shell, as of instead of going more Hollywood, do it like how Funimation style is, where it's the, you know, you got your Japanese actors, you got that, and let's do it.
Like I said, I'm holding opinion, not because of, again, because I'm like, it'll go either two ways. I mean, A, be an amazing movie, be fun, be cool, be something, you know, whatever. Or two, it could be a typical Hollywood film, which, you know, again, at the end, if it sells, you know, that's all that really matters to them.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, even though I love the song, I don't know how I feel about what song. What was it? I know they use like an 80s cover of a song.
Oh yeah,
which is typical.
I actually personally wish they, unfortunately, they can't anymore because they do passed away. Wish they use Boom Boom Satellites. Boom Boom Satellites is always good for like a cyberpunk kind of stuff.
Well, because I'm the one thing, and again, there's certain weird things I have when I go to watch these sort of things. Like I Ghost in the Shell is so fucking ingrained in my head. That like I know that opening that opening sequence, I know that like entire like song, you know, that
oh, yeah.
like I almost hope that they bring some of the original Ghost of the Shell soundtrack into the mix.
Yeah.
Only because like it's such a great soundtrack. But again, I have no idea what they're gonna do, because we live in a not only a post Matrix world, but we live in a world where, you know, you watch Ghost of the Shell 1.
Yeah.
We're closer to Ghost of the Shell 1 than we were back in 1993 when it came out.
I would say actually we're in the same little bit of a state of standalone complex too.
Yep.
Standalone complex.
And so,
and if they do, I would say if they could get the original composer for the movie, but also Yoko Kanno for the composer of the actual soundtrack too, because Yoko Kanno can do a lot. I mean, every intro, like Inner Universe, Rise, those songs were powerful as hell for just intros for anime. And also, I'm a big fan of the soundtrack, because the soundtrack was everywhere. As of like, you had electronic music, you had jazz, you had rock, you had the Cowboy Bebop style, upbeat jazz, and it was just ridiculous. But the problem is, they're most likely not going to do that.
Oh, no, of course not. That's why I said I'm not, I'll put it this way,
like,
I am
let
not.
Me run the music department, please. That's what I want to do. Like, or like, let me run it, or get RZA to do it. Or
get RZA.
Because RZA knows his shit. He knows
it. Of course, because RZA's amazing. But that's, speaking of music, I'm gonna switch subjects here.
Yes.
Because I kind of want to talk about this, because I haven't talked about this yet in the air.
And I'm going to say Lupe Fiasco's playing today, too, and I'm a little salty I'm not there.
What I want to talk about, and this is something that I'm curious to hear your opinion, because I know you've heard this album, the new Tribe album.
Oh yeah, I got that in the car, and I'm playing that. I'm actually playing that for my next couple shows. The Tribe album, it is something that we needed, but just to let you know, people slept on it as well. They forgot about Common Black America. That's another album that you have to listen to.
Okay,
which is very good. I say that just because Tribe was like that great step, but Common was still continuing that too, and he hasn't stopped
for sure.
So, but the Tribe album, really good. A lot of people say they feel like it was rushed. I don't, because it is just an unfortunate time that Five, rest in peace.
Yeah,
he passed away. But like the songs that he has, he still has that griminess.
Well, because I love about the album, and for me, because I'd finally had a chance to listen to it like over Thanksgiving. I think the song that made me just super impressed with, because who's the DJ in Tribe? Because I forget my
Ollie.
That made me impressed. I had never heard anyone use a Betty and the Jets sample.
Yeah.
And like work that into the
Wallace.
I was like, that was such a fuck. I was like, when it came on, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. No, it's an amazing album. Yeah. You know, this is every part of that album is amazing.
He does a lot. You know, he did the soundtrack for Luke Cage too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's who you got for the soundtrack. You got Ali. Ali is an amazing producer, and like he does have a lot of stuff. One of my favorite tracks personally is Kids with Andre 3000. Because it's actually talking about the kids of this generation and making fun of them and stuff like that. And also, Andre 3000 is just lyrically just ridiculous. It's Outkast.
No,
have one part of Outkast. You can't go wrong with it. But him and Q-Tip is just perfect match.
No, everything on that album is a solid 100. I was just curious. I don't think until maybe December, I won't get a chance to talk about it more. But I was just like that. Because I'd finally had like a chance to finally listen to it. Because I kept saying, like, I need to just fucking listen to it. Streaming it on iTunes.
Yeah.
And it's like the opening track, like this is what I'm into.
And then,
I mean, because I know that the single, and I put that in quotes, is I think We the People.
Yeah, We the People.
Right.
And We the People is a very, very powerful song.
Oh,
the thing is, it was amazing to do that during the time of right when Trump won, because just the chorus itself. All you black folks, you must go.
Yeah.
All you Mexicans, you must go.
Yeah, no, it was...
You know,
it was,
and then, like, Muslims and gays, boy, we hate your ways. I was like, that shit's powerful, because that's what's happening. And I don't know if you've seen it. I did. I watched the SNL skit that night, because I was doing a wedding in Houston for a nerdcore, for Johnny Hackenslash, the nerdcore artist.
Right.
It was his wedding, so...
The Chappelle show.
So we watched the whole thing, and, dude, it was...
like, even Chappelle's skit, which is hilarious, but also, like, had some truth in it.
Oh, yeah.
And some heavy, heavy truth.
Well, they had, like, so, in the SNL episode with Chappelle, which was already amazing, and bringing a tribe, like, this is, either way, this would be a great way to end the week, no matter what.
Yeah.
I was surprised, like, Chris Rock came in just randomly for, like, one sketch.
Yeah,
I was like, holy shit, Chris Rock's on this.
Yeah.
I still say that my favorite sketch, and that might be just because I love Chappelle's other characters.
Walking Dead, yes. Everybody, no, I love it. I love it, too.
Well, because, like, two of my favorite moments in that episode, in that sketch, the Walking Dead one, is they had the, I don't even know what their names are, but the player haters.
Oh, yeah, the pimp haters.
Which is my favorite.
Yeah.
I love.
but my Bixby was my favorite one, though, because the racist.
Right, that was great. He goes, Trump's America now.
Yeah, but my favorite line from him, he goes, I smell cocoa butter and frustration. I was like, oh, my God. That's so messed up. I was like, that's great.
Well, I love, like, it's like from what I see, like what, like, is it, like, monkey? Like, you're black, too. This hat says otherwise, yeah, but it's going to make America great again. It's Trump's America now. And then I guess he's like, white character.
Yeah, the white dude's like,
it sure is.
He's like, you damn right.
Which is the greatest.
I was like, oh, man.
But I love it. Again, it's interesting where we're going now, because a lot of rule, you know, like we talk about the election. I've talked about this before to a certain degree, but I haven't really kind of talked about sort of since it's all kind of gone down.
Yeah.
Or since it's gone down as it's gone down now, but a lot of things are shifting in how you cover the president. Like, 'cause the idea, like, how do you? Because typically you'd have a president's reserve that would sort of judge what he's going to say, how he's going to say it.
Yeah.
But because the man who he voted in office, I guess, loves his. I will say this. I am looking very forward. To the fact that the official POTUS Twitter verified account will be way more active than it normally is.
Bro. No, they're gonna
once he gets the OAuth key,
bro, they're gonna have to delete his shit. They're gonna have to delete everything, because you know he's gonna fuck up something. Just so if ands or buts, it's crazy because
the idea, like, how do you cover, you know, and this is where a lot of journalists are haven't figured it out yet, because you haven't had to deal with this, especially political journalists, is how do you cover a president, or how do you cover any political figure that doesn't, you know, that isn't this sort of crazy, you know, that's now, for lack of better words, head of state, head of government,
yeah,
that has no problem saying anything in 140 characters.
Well, see, the thing is, they will tone him down. They will put him in check, because the thing is, they don't want to take risk with other countries and things that we need to do.
Yeah,
because
as long as there's a filter between him and his, like, so long as when he starts, you know, that so long as they don't give him, like, as long as they don't set up his Twitter on iPhone.
Yeah, right. Pretty much.
Like, you gotta keep, like, have someone in between you and
no,
you
put
and,
like. Like 300 different passwords in there, so he can't get in there. They won't. They won't, like I said, they're gonna tone him down a lot, because they know better not to overpush that boundary and get everything too riled up.
Yeah, especially as we go into world politics soon.
Yeah, pretty much.
World politics, like, is gonna be interesting.
I think the craziest thing that I've seen, though, it was a recent video. It was a black girl, really gorgeous black girl, dating this white dude. And throughout the campaign. His rage and stuff just started coming out of him, and he started getting straight bigot style, just racist.
Damn.
He's like, y'all should be going back to Nigeria if you think of Black Lives Matter. Fuck that shit. Like, literally, just like, she was recording a video of this.
Right, right.
And it was hard. Juice Lee actually had posted that up, and I watched the video. I think it was Juice Lee or Warren, one of my buddies, one of the Nerdcore buddies.
Right,
and he posted it up, and I was watching, and I was like, dude, that's ridiculous. Like, why do you, like, I was like, how, this is when you know your true color show, when that shit happens. And it's like, she literally drove like about 25, 30 miles back to her parents' place and stayed there, and she broke up with him. She was like, it's over.
Yeah, it's fair.
But, like, it's just crazy, because she was like, I love the dude. And then just like this after sad. This shit changed. It's like, if this happens to me, think about the shit that happens just on a daily basis.
This election was, you know, overall was...
It was harsh.
I mean, it, elections can be polarizing to a certain degree, but this one was like hyper polarizing. You know, there was a really good article on Politico, and because it's election, like I've learned a lot more about Politico and like how actually a great website is and how well they do coverage. Like they do a really damn good coverage of politics and in general. I didn't even realize they had like a European site, so I may even use that for my European politics site. Just in sort of,
I'd say another good group is Young Turks.
Yeah,
I do like Young Turks a lot. Very
they good. Do a good job. But Politico did a great did an article kind of talking to like four various people in the Rust Belt, like why they voted for, you know, the way they did. And a lot of them, it's you know, I talked about this like last time. A lot of times it becomes this is their, like, because they got somehow left behind, which sucks. This is like their last gasp for things. Like even they're saying, like, if Trump doesn't fix this in like 2 years, in a year or something, or doesn't even show progress, like they'll give up on this guy too.
Yeah.
And it's, again, I'm better than I was then. I'm definitely back to my usual optimistic self. In that, I'm hopeful for the future because I think, you know, this election has shown both A, that there are, you know, even though everyone's known this, and if you know, I because of this whole election, I've gone back and watched CNN's The 60s.
Yeah.
I saw the you know, 30 for 30 on OJ.
Yeah. You watched the 13th yet?
No, not yet. I need to watch that one. But I've also, you know, there's a lot of stuff. So that the element that we see amplified now has always been here. You know, racism has always been here.
Yeah, always.
We just never talked about it. And the problem is we never talked about it. We need to talk about it.
Well, see, no, the thing is a lot of people do talk about it. But a lot of people want to beat around a bush and don't.
Right.
Really,
no. Yeah. Let's just. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, like people don't want to. When I say talk about it, I mean no one's addressed it, because you watch things like, you know, like especially you watch the OJ one and just how all that led up to what it is.
Yeah.
And you watch the 60s and you watch all that. You're like, oh, we've gone through this before. Just no one talked about it. No one directly addressed it.
Yeah.
No, you know, and you know, even with Kirkpatrick,
Colin Kirkpatrick.
Yeah. Even with him, like even him's kind of doing what he did, and then he's like, "Well, I didn't vote." Just like,
okay, so
I understand why he did.
I can understand anybody that did not vote, as of like legit did not vote, because they're both candidates they did not want. So
that's,
it's just
that's
like,
fine. I can understand that. It's just like,
yeah,
man, you know that's your only, you know, like you of all people.
But even so, like I said, that is a human being making his own decision.
No, for sure.
But a lot of people get pissed about it because, like, you're like, oh, well, you're kneeling, you're taking a knee for all this time, and then you didn't vote. You're just as dumb as anybody else. It's like, no, he's actually smart because of the sheer fact that he wasn't going to choose somebody that has did some fucked up shit in their past, and then have somebody that's a complete bigot.
For sure. And again, I'm not and I'm not judging him for not voting.
Oh,
it's
I'm not saying that.
It's like, you know, because again, it's just like you do you. You know, that's always been my opinion on him.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. But even him kind of coming into perspective, and him kind of coming in, like, it became this.
Well, because
this thing.
Because it's real talk. People are African Americans. Or minorities, majority though, African Americans are getting shot on a constant basis, and try to brush on the rug like it's
and that's sort of what, like, when you and I say, watching a lot of those documentaries. I mean, again, I've always known that element existed. Yeah. I've never been, you know, I'm lucky to have been as sort of born into it. You know, my dad's a doctor, my mom's a nurse. Yes, yeah. I had a last name in Villegas, but I always remember the story they told me that when we were kind of driving through, I think it was Missouri at the time, that we went to a Shoney's and they never served us like for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it just because, you know, and it wasn't like it was that busy. I always remember that moment. My parents told me the story of that. Just like, it's like, what do you mean? It was a weird sort of thing, you know, because they never experienced that, you know, even in Texas and that kind of stuff, and obviously never in Michigan.
Yeah.
But you know, you look at their history, and it's not like, and I don't mean like in a bad way, but just like it's always been there, and it's not a good thing. It's been there. I'm not saying it's good.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that we've tend to forget that element exists in our modern day society because You know, I keep thinking about this. You know, no matter what our, you know, yours and I's life experiences have been, you and I have the common vernacular video games of nerd culture. Yeah. Like, in other words, we just had a whole giant discussion of anime and video games and stuff like that. We can have that dialogue.
Yeah.
That's most of our generation that has those sort of common points, whether it be television, whether it be nerdy kind of things, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be like that. Like, you can always tell that's sort of the key with our generation.
Yeah.
When you see Ran go up on stage, and just say a small town girl. Everyone else fills in the rest of the words of that song by Journey. That we all know it.
Yeah.
Even though it's unsaid, it's unspoken. We all know the words to that. You know, we all know Turtle Power. We all know Vanilla Ice, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
You had to say Journey because I'm not a big fan of Journey. But it's not a rude thing. It's me DJing and everybody requesting.
But the point being, yeah, there are those things in our generation that it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Mexican, or Asian.
Yeah,
you know, we all know these cultural landmarks because we all kind of grew up on these sort of weird things, whatever they happen to be. And I'm not saying like specific video games, anime. I'm trying to make it more general pop culture. Like, you can go to somebody in our generation, bring up Mickey Mouse, and it's like, oh yeah, I know who Mickey Mouse is. Or even if video games, like, oh yeah, I know who Mario is. Oh, bad. We can say those sort of things. Because of that, like, our generation never thought about this stuff because it never came to our mind. It never became a problem. In other words, what I mean by our generation, I mean like,
I would say yes, and I would say no. I would say both because 90s. The thing is like, yeah, we had the video games and I had that, but the other thing is, I would get outcasted as of being, a.
And this is where I'm kind of getting at is that within that element, there are on both sides of the spectrum, even in Mexico to a certain degree too, where you had sort of what was considered the norm.
Yeah.
If you go to sort of the white side of things, and you had a kid listening to hip hop. I mean, we had a name for that.
Yeah.
They had a name for that.
Yeah, and we had that same thing too. I mean, we had
it's like
Uncle Tom and stuff
right,
like that.
Oreo in terms of that, or Wigger on the white side. Mexican there wasn't anything else but just gringo kind of thing.
Yeah.
Depending on that. So there was always those sort of things. I mean, I got lucky of being like a nerd and hanging out with other nerds
same here.
That kind of thing.
But
because of those things, like, you have these sort of what is the default or what is the assumed default nature of person, what is the stereotype? And not only that, but you have people in that culture enforcing the stereotype.
Yeah.
Whether good or bad, this is not to say that there isn't, that it's tricky because we don't talk about these things. We don't talk about like this idea of like, what's the stereotypical this, what's this, and everyone kind of has that image. And you could argue that certain musical things influenced it on both sides. If you, for example, you could argue hip hop sort of gave the thug kind of amplification, but if you on the flip side, country gave the whole redneck thing an amplification, I'm boiling down everything.
Yeah. I was like, and it's hard to do that because, like, for example, like you say, like, EDM house, black people did that first,
right?
But it's been pushed saying like, oh yeah, no, it was white folks and stuff like that. I was like, no, there's black person that created house
for sure.
It's like rock and roll, and was started with blues, and blues were created by black people.
Well, because like a lot of when you watch the 60s and CNN, like they talked about a lot of the music stuff of like the Rolling Stones grew up on like blues and shit like that. When they came stateside, they wanted to tour with like Motown artists and shit like that. I was like, oh damn, that's why they sound the way they did, because that's who they were influenced by. They listened to all this like really crazy music, and like that's why.
And but like some people like to push that away from history and say like, no, it wasn't them. And some people teach, and like some people that are bigots and teach our kids, they're like, oh no, we did that. We took care of that. We did that first. It's like, no. I'm like, you got to let it be what it be. Like, if you made this, you made this. But you got to understand the other side, too.
But the point, the ultimate point is that if you really look at the world it is, it's not black or white. It's gray. There's, in other words, the idea being that when it comes to music, who you know, I always remember the SLC Punk quote, you know, when it's like, you know, whether it was Ramones, the Sex Pistols, who cares who started it? It's music, you know.
True.
And that, but the point being, unless you, you know, a lot of, and I guess I mean my generation, I mean the internet generation, the generation sort of grew up with the idea that we found our respective niches, you know, because we didn't have that many friends that were into all these sort of weird, quirky things. And even our friends who were into weird, quirky things weren't always into, like, for me, I always remember, like, I was the kid. My friends were into Chrono Trigger and, like, Final Fantasy, but I was the only kid that, like, loved Earthbound and all that kind of series. Yeah. Like, I was that weird guy that played the Mother series. And you know, I was, and not in a bad way, just, you know,
everybody likes their purposes.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not knocking that. And the whole, like I said, the whole black and white thing, it's pretty harsh to say that because for me being like a huge hip hop head.
Yeah.
Not technically rap, like some rap, but hip hop head.
Yeah.
People blame like situations in this on hip hop.
Yeah.
Like, black folks always talking about money, drugs, and this. And it's like, no, not really. It's not, you're trying to assume this black culture and you automatically stereotype. And that's the thing. Like, it's, for like example, a really good...
this is just me being...
Don't touch me.
don't touch my microphone. I know how to work this thing.
Yeah.
As the mic...
I was just talking. With that being said, though, you get that. You'll get people that'll say, oh, it's this culture fault.
Well, because again, you know, if you dig into hip hop, you know, and hip hop is a very wide genre, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not simply just, you know, Tupac and Biggie, and while those are
you have great artists in Japan, you have great artists in the UK and London. I listen to these artists around the world.
Yep.
And it's different cultures, it's different styles. And a lot of them do the old school style where it's the classic hip-hop, has a purpose, makes sense. But stereotype, the mindset automatically is, boom, it's black folks that are automatically doing it.
I think this is for good or for war, you know, for good or for bad. It's not to say that they're bad artists or anything. To me, it's a guilty pleasure, and that's why I say it. But, like, I mean... I think things that amplified that. I think like the group I always associate with like the group that amplified sort of that idea. And it's not, I'm not even saying like NWA or like that, because I actually had a purpose. Mm. I always say like No Limit Studios were the ones that like amplified just the
Master P and him, yeah.
And again, I had a brother that loved that loved, you know, I love Still Fly, you know, when you think of, you know, when you want to put the stereotype, and I put that in.
Are you thinking of No Limit or Cash Money?
Cash Money is I'm thinking of.
Because I know No Limit, I mean, they had some tracks there too.
Yeah.
I
was like, okay. Cash Money is the one. Because the joke I always remember with Cash Money, because I never understood this, even, you know, even as the hip-hop person I was, I still don't understand it. I always remember like the music video was, I forget what it was, but he went like, it was in back of a truck. He's like, I got 5K in my mouth and I'm trying to fit another like 10 or something like that. Cause he basically got all of
it was bling bling.
That's the one part of the culture that I still don't understand is like, why would you put all that in your mouth?
No. No, I still think the like most messed up one, and it was the Birdman song, and I never noticed this, and I heard it. Somebody did a Vine video to it, and they were like, when you didn't pay attention to the lyrics sometimes, and it was playing, I forget what the title of the song is, but it says this in the song, he goes, and it sounded like he said her. It sounded like he goes, I'm going to fuck him in the ass while he beat up the pussy. And you're like, no.
And then you have a whole bunch of people in the club just like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you didn't notice that in the lyrics, I was like,
well, because I was
remember, number one stunner. Yeah. That's what it was. And I was like, bro, that's too much.
Well, because I remember I think it was like the Chris Watts Rock, I forgot which comedy special it was, but he's talking about the that just, you know, women like jamming out to all this like really crazy, you know, vulgar stuff at the club, like smack it with the dick, smack it with the dick.
Oh yeah.
Smack
oh
it with
my god, I love this song.
It's like smack it with the dick, like fucking in the face, like slap in the face, like all this kind of like these like just derogatory things to women, just like smack it in the dick, smack it with the dick. Just
and then like they still go at it. Yeah.
Again, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past, you know, with booty culture and all that kind of stuff, which. Again, that's not hip, you know, that's just a specific thing of hip hop. You break down electronica, EDMs, but a specific thing of electronica and that kind of stuff. And but a lot of times, you know, unless you're in that musical culture, or have analyzed that music culture, you just seem to see whatever gets the most promotion.
That's true.
And that, again, this is where I'm saying, like, a lot of times You know to address a lot of these issues that we talk about, race, we talk about these sort of things, you have to be very vigilant in that, knowing that there's really no way we're ever going to outright kill it. Because how do you kill an idea?
Well, that's the
hard part. How do you kill an idea?
Number one, you can't kill an idea. Also, number two, a lot of people teach their children so much at a young age, so it's always going
to
be
there. And so because of that, we have to be diligent. We have to talk about the stuff. We have to address it head on and not beat around the bush. Not, you know, we don't have to do the whole 90s thing where we have, you know, Burger King and
Michael Jordan hugging people like, yes, we love each other.
I still love the Burger King. I wish those guys would come back. The Burger King kids, whatever the fuck they were.
Everybody was a token.
Yep.
Everybody's name was a token. Yeah, token black, token nerd, token in a wheelchair.
Yeah, he was the nerd.
Yeah, like.
I think it was like Viz or something.
You had the one with the like curly hair token. Yep. Then you had token with the glasses. Like, man. They did some racist ass shit back in the day. You didn't pay attention to anything.
Well,
because
somebody had to. Because the reason why that is the case is that this is what happened. I guarantee this is what happened. This is what happened.
Somebody was high as hell.
Some exec came down and said, "All right, it's the night. We need to appeal to everybody because this is what we do and this is how we do it." And they basically said, "Here are your requirements. Go." And then some jackass just like. Does this work? Yes. That covers all. Or it became committee, and it's just like, I'm going to look at this up because I want to remember who the Burger King kids were because they are my favorite. They are my favorite.
If you haven't watched Nostalgia Critic yet.
Oh, here it is.
You might want to watch.
All right. I'm going to look at the image and read the names because it's right right here.
No, what you need to do is you need to watch Nostalgia Critic's commercial. Commercial. Oh God.
Okay, so we had. Let's see. Let me
read it.
I love the black kids, Dave. Jaws.
So black dude name was Jaws. The Middle Eastern dude name is Lingo. The white dude with glasses is Kid.
Kidvid.
Oh, Kidvid. Kidvid. Then you had to do with the glasses named IQ.
Yep.
The dog, JD. Dude in the wheelchair named Wheels.
Wheels. That's.
Then you had the one with the football jersey named Boomer.
This is great. I love it.
And then the last one is. Is that Snaps?
I think so. I think it's
Snaps.
I think it is.
That is the most ridiculous thing.
No, they're all like.
But it was literally token black guy, token Indian, token nerd, token disabled. If you want to go by tokens, literally everybody was a token jock.
Yeah.
And then the token stoner.
Yeah, no.
That is literally your diversity of group.
But everyone was represented. In fact, we were completely crazy. We had a female football player.
Oh, bro.
Ooh. Bro.
Okay.
Of course, they came from the shitty era. You know, we also gave her the era that brought up bullshit like the Big Green. and Little Giants.
Hey, Little Giants was actually a pretty dope.
No, well, Little Giants had one of my favorite names for a play ever, the Annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that was like the most dumbest fucking name you ever heard.
I love it. I love it because it's just like, what do you call this play? The Annexation of Puerto Rico. It's like, fuck yes, okay, I'm behind this kid.
And on top of that, it's learning off of Madden 94 on the Super Nintendo. Like, or no, it was like 93. I think it was a Madden game, but it was.
still hilarious because he's like, we're going to learn these plays. Where from? Madden. How did you get a TV outside in the middle of a football game?
Just do it, baby.
Just no F's given.
I love that was the play name.
You rank
everything about that play name.
I want to watch that movie again because I know it was like cheesy as hell, but it was like fun. Cheesy.
They recently put on Netflix Heavyweights, and I went to
seen that.
Yeah, because Heavyweights still has my all time favorite line in a Disney movie, and in the movie, basically, to make a long story short, eventually the kids take over the camp. And they end up like stringing up all the counselors, and the German counselor, I forgot the kid's, I think it's like Klaus is his name. He screams at the kids as they tied him up, "I'll see you all in hell."
Yeah.
Or "I'll see you in hell." Like it's the first time I've ever heard in a Disney movie, a kid, an adult look at a child figure, just like, "I'll see you in hell." It's just like, yes, maybe this more like Disney movies.
Yes, creepy German. Thank you very much for that.
But the greatest part of that movie is you watch it again. And if you didn't know this already, it's like, oh, that's where Ben Stiller got his dodgeball character from.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Because he's just reprising it in dodgeball.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, this is, he, that was a prequel.
Yeah, basically.
That was a prequel before Dodgeball. That movie, yeah, it's a great classic, too. There's some other stuff that I think that came on Netflix that I was picking up.
Yeah.
Oh, I picked up Dark Matter. That show is ridiculously good.
As
I like
heard.
It. I actually like it. It's, think about it like this. It's like Firefly and Pitch Black.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like, but the concept is really cool. So everybody wakes up and they don't go by names. They go by numbers.
Oh, interesting.
They have original names, but since they don't remember, they wake up with amnesia, and they're on a ship.
It's like, all right, I'm one, you're two, you're three, you're four, five. Okay.
Everybody sticks with that name, so everybody has that. But, like, you have, like, for example, you have your geeky, like, cute girl, mechanic. Then you have your, I'm trying to be a badass, I love guns. Sometimes dumb but goofy. He has his goofy jokes. It's literally like a Firefly setup.
Right.
It's like Firefly season two without all the cast itself.
Right.
But it's like, it's a really good show. I actually like a lot of it.
I've heard really good things about it.
It's really good. I think it's still on Sci-Fi, so I finished the second season.
Okay,
and the second season ends off really well. That make you go, fuck, I need to watch season three. Where's season three at? Where is season three? Help me. I'm like, I need to walk up to this camera right now. I go, help me. I need season three. That's how it was actually a really good ending because it's like, it's, you thought it was like, all right, it's, the episode should be done. No. Mm-mm. No, they HBO'd your ass.
Well, at least, there is ending on cliffhangers that can be done right, I think. And then there's ones that are, like, I always remember the best example of why you don't end on a cliffhanger for your series, especially your first season. And that is the Sonic
Underground or
not Underground. It's the Sad End version, the Saturday morning, the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon. But
yeah.
there was literally two Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons with the exact same voice actor because that was a great idea.
Because you had the very cartoony one that was almost like the Mario Brothers one, and
right.
You had the one that was like a series.
Right. And so that one ends on a cliffhanger and didn't get a season two.
Yeah, I know which one
it's
you're talking
crazy.
About.
Like, and I'm not alone. It's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? It's canceled. It's like,
bro.
You don't end
and
on
it was,
a
and that was a good one. And then you're like, hey, let's do Sonic Underground where we have three of them that have abilities.
Look,
you
just,
That play rock music, yay!
Again, everyone talks about every, and I always feel like I have to say this, and this is something I've learned looking through history and whatnot now, and kind of going back in time. Every era has shit in it, no matter what it is.
Oh, trust me, I know we had shit in ours.
Oh, we had
like
so 80s. Much.
I'm an 80s baby, like 86, so I still count. I'm like
yeah,
beefy.
I'm 82.
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like nerdcore beefy, like. I know I only had half, but still.
We all look, it doesn't matter.
We had some shit stuff. Like, you know what? People probably will hate me for this.
You liked Hammer Time, didn't you?
No. I wasn't a big fan of Voltron.
That's okay.
And the reason why is because I was a big fan of Gundam. I got into Gundam over Voltron and Transformers.
Yeah. Like, and that's, like, for me, I got into like Macross. I got into more Robotech.
Yeah, Robotech 2. Yeah. Robotech,
which I would not learn until later, years later, that it was like Macross and like some other series just like
back together.
Fuck, we got to make a cartoon for the American audience. Squish them both together.
Well, because it was from the books. It was from the actual books of Macross, what they had, which actually is an American tale. Yeah, it's a cool thing, but it's that it has that Japanese feel.
Right. Exactly.
You know, granted, dub.
But yeah, Macross was, you know, it's like I got more into that than I did the Gundam style thing. But again, they're both the, you know, we could argue semantics about like which is, you know, I don't even want to argue which is better, which is worse, because they're both roughly, I mean,
it's hard because depending on what stories of which.
Right. Because even Gundam itself is like the Gundam of now is even in its storyline is so far removed from the original Gundam, not just in simply time, but even in like place, like people who are in the Gundam of now are like the original tales are like the stuff you tell about, like, oh yes, I remember the heroes of yesteryear and lore.
Well,
like they're legends at that point, just because of anything.
Well, I would say like I actually like Blood Orphans,
right?
The newer one, because it's very dark,
right?
As of like these are kids in war. Fighting grown-ups and still kicking ass,
right?
And the way they've been tortured, but they're trying to build themselves up to be legends as well,
right? Exactly, but you know, so,
but it has that. It has a little bit of the old element style, but yeah, like you know, Stardust Memory, 0080, any of those classic ones. Yeah, it's not going to be granted to that, but it still has a very strong.
No,
point.
Yeah, but
it kicks hard. It hits hard.
Yeah,
because the big thing that I'm a big fan of Gundam itself is. There's always going to be somebody that dies, but you won't know until that time comes. And it's always that character that you're like, I love that character. And then out of nowhere, they die. And then you hate everyone for a couple days.
That's
like, don't talk to me. My favorite character just died. I got to wait until next week to see what's going to happen because nobody gets revived in this show. And that's the only. Yeah, nobody really gets revived. There is only one version that seemed like it was almost a revive, but it actually wasn't.
I was like, yeah, when you die, unless it's Dragon Ball, when you die in an anime, you die for good.
Well, yeah, in this one you die.
Yeah,
in Gundam World you die.
Yeah, in Dragon Ball Z World, if you die, you may go to you know weird floaty world.
Yeah,
and chill there for a bit, train.
Well, and like, have you watched Gundam 00?
I have not.
Okay. I don't want to spoil it.
No, no worries. That's...
Okay. So, spoiler. One of the pilots dies, right?
Right.
And you're like, fuck, it sucks. Yeah. He was actually a pretty cool character because he started to get used
exactly.
to everybody. And Gundam 00 is almost like Gundam Wing. So, there's multiple style Gundams.
Okay.
It's literally really close to one another. So, everybody has their own style Gundam. You know, it has a unique preferences. But one of the Gundams that's a sniper. He's a sniper-type Gundam, and he dies. Well, when second season came out, he comes back, but it's his twin brother.
Yes.
So it was actually very unique, and I was like, everybody was literally like posting, wait, he's fucking back? Wait, really? It's like, and it's no. like, oh, no, he had a twin brother. And then they actually give a very deep dive story.
As long as they give, a halfway decent explanation.
No, they gave
like...
a very good explanation, but it's just like, bro. So, like, when you play the game, like, because I used to play the DS one, which was a really good one.
Right.
Like, am I playing him or am I playing his brother? I'm not. It's like a Young and the Restless kind of thing, you know?
All right, I'm going to check something really quick, but keep.
Yes, but as of discussing that, if you haven't seen Iron Blood Orphans, it's actually a very amazing show. I love it. I started picking on it a lot recently. What animes are you watching now that's recently out?
So we'll end on this because we're pretty much out of time. Let's make sure the recording is going. The last anime that I started, like I've been trying to get back in anime as of late.
Okay.
And I think the newest anime that I've watched, which is sad because I'm trying to find the new anime to watch. Prior to this, I take it back. The newest anime I watched was the Phoenix Wright anime, but okay. That's basically the game.
Okay,
every one of them is the game. Like okay. like the first season is just like it's turnabout. It's like okay.
Yeah, I know it's on Crunchyroll, yeah. So yeah, I need to catch up.
But
on one.
The other one that I finally watched all the way through because it's an older. I say older in terms of it's still recent. Was Space Dandy.
I didn't finish Space Dandy. I don't know why.
I adore
Space Dandy. I like the first couple episodes. I think I need to finish the rest of Space Dandy.
I love Space Dandy because it is like there are as much as I love serious anime and stuff like that, I adore Space Dandy for everything that its craziness is.
So if you like that, you need to watch Prison School if you haven't watched Prison School.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Prison School will make you Prison School.
Well, because like my top animes are you know.
Ridiculous ones.
Well, especially like again, I love Excel Saga. I love Excel Saga.
Yes, I am a big fan of
Excel
Saga.
I love the idea of Excel Saga being, you know, one, you have like the anime. It's like, the guy who created the manga, say, yeah, fuck it, make an anime. Go for it. this week, we're going to make something other crazy. You know, this week, we're inspired by this anime type. Like, and I love how they just fucked with the tropes of whatever genre they were in.
Yeah.
Like, even I think one of them.
My favorite one when they went to America. Oh, it was so good. Well, she's like, let me talk to you. Hey, what the fuck is up? She's flicking them off and like, yeah, motherfuckers. I'm like, well, okay.
I remember what it was, he wanted to make it into like an 80s action film, whatever.
Yeah.
I love the way that ends because it ends literally with Koshi Ricto like passed out on his bed as the tape is just kind of spinning to the end, like as it gets to like the FBI warning, he just that's how you would pass out in a B movie, isn't it? I love it because again, it plays the B movie tropes. Like, it goes to Vietnam.
Excel Saga is the most ridiculous anime I ever watched, but it's so good.
It's so good. It's one of my favorite. That's what I love about the series is that it did that. And when I went into Space Dandy, like episode one, I was like, okay, let me get this going. And I love how Space Dandy 1 ends with Space Dandy dying. He explodes the planet. He's like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't use that because it's kind of like the end of the world. Yeah. Well, at least I die with a good head of hair. It's just like, okay, this is the ride I'm in for. Rock and roll. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care where we're going to go with this. Let's just go with it. And they work into their world, like why certain things happen, which I love about that. But one of the things, episodes I adored, there's two other ones I loved.
Yeah.
Actually three, but I love everything. But the two ones I can think of off the top of my head that I adored, and I'll leave it this for Space Dandy, is where I guess they find all the different cosmic threads. And they start finding the other dandies, if you will.
Yeah.
And they basically play off of every anime trope on the planet.
Oh.
And it's great. It's so amazing because it'll go to like, okay, that's Dragon Ball Z. That's something else.
Yeah, they'll do a lot of parodies.
This one, it's great. And then they end up ending on the... I guess it was looked like the One Punch Man style of animation, but I don't know if that's where its inspiration point came from. But it's like the depressed dandy, where just like, I want to die. It's just like, why? Well, look at my people. It's like, who's this? Oh, that's me. Oh, who's that guy? Who's the weird guy? That's supposed to be me. That's supposed to be my fucking robot versions. Like, yeah, imagine my life with these guys. Like, yeah, I want to kill myself too, I guess. And I love how they fix everything. And it's just like, all right, we fixed everything, but due to some like weird error, we're now following the adventures of these guys. Enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I want to die. I'm just like, this would be great if the next episode followed these assholes. Right. If they spoofed off this joke for like three episodes, they don't, and they kind of go back to reset. But if they spoofed off this for three more episodes, I would be so in. And they didn't do it, but I was still in anyways because I love the idea of like, oh man, if the next week's episode is just these motherfuckers, I'm like, they've committed to the joke, and I give them props.
Well, like the ones that I'm watching right now is because it's just over the top sports.
Yeah,
it's Kijo.
I've heard about that.
You want to watch it because the thing is, it's making fun of other sports, and it's a sport about booty bumping they call it racing.
Yeah, I've heard
but it's booty bumping off of like the waterfall, like the little Japanese game that they do.
Yeah, there's a.
But they actually have abilities, like legit. Like one girl, and just let me just tell you how ridiculous this is. There's one girl, her booty automatically just attacks people, and all it does is it has like a wolf's face, and it bites. Like the wolf face bites people off the edge, and it's just her ass everywhere. There's another girl, and they even quote this. They go, "Oh, she used a forbidden move. It's called titty hypnosis."
Titty hypnosis?
Yes, I am not lying. It is literally called titty hypnosis. That's I awesome. Was in All right. tears.
All right, I'm in. But Vince, we are fully out of time for the show. We've hit our mark.
Yes.
We always have our discussions.
It's okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll continue this next time. Vincent,
yes.
Always a pleasure to have you on. Where can people find you online these days, good sir?
You can find me on Facebook as DJ Rockman, all caps and periods on there for DJ Rockman.
Not DJ Cutman.
No, not Cutman. Not Robo Rob. Even though they're good friends.
Not DJ Rock Sizzle.
No, none of that. This Friday, actually, we have our Friday Night Get Down and also a special show Saturday called Nerdcore Nights, our first one downtown at the Recess Bar, 6th Street, 6th and San Jacinto.
Hopefully you got a special gift from a mutual friend of ours. I'm not so sure if you got it or not, because I'm not going to say it on the air because we're going to have...
Oh, yeah. We will be playing some special tracks. There's always fans and butts about that. Thank you. You know who it is. But I paid for mine, so
I paid for mine too. But I haven't gotten my
I had to pay for mine.
I haven't gotten my press copy yet. Yeah. But we'll.
But yes, we will have that. We actually have some cosplayers and dancers there that are going to be there. It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. And it's free, no cover.
Sure, totally.
It is going to be 21 and up, just because it's a downtown bar. But arcade games, video games, drinks, and cool nerdy people like me playing
for sure
nerdcore music that you don't hear a lot in Austin, Texas, except for me. So definitely working that out. Got plenty of shows coming up this month. A lot of Christmas edition stuff. So,
yeah, it should be fun.
So I will have a lot of nerdcore Christmas edition.
Yeah,
tracks.
I know we're getting closer to the holidays, and that you know that's got to be like everyone booking.
Yes.
DJ Rockman to play play the holiday party
right now. Actually, I'm not doing New Year's.
That really? Wow.
I actually want to take a break. I have not had a break since South by.
Okay, that's fair. So. That's right, yeah. Then March is coming along and everything else like that.
Yes, yes.
That'd be crazy.
But yes, check me out anytime. I like to. I don't mind traveling if need be. I like doing shows.
Yeah, if you need an awesome DJ for your event, and I don't mean like DJ as in like, yo, can you play that song on the CD? I mean, a guy that's spinning into his, you know, with, I mean, granted, it's not necessarily the traditional wheels of steel, as they call it.
Hey, I still got those, though.
Right.
I still got my babies.
Right, exactly. We've had the story where you almost, you know.
Yeah, I almost broke my babies.
Exactly. But doesn't matter. You know, it's always awesome music, no matter who, you know, when he's spinning, whether it be traditional hip-hop or more the nerdcore side of things. It's always a good show with Vincent.
All right.
Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. Then the Twitters. If you want to catch previous episodes of this if you want to catch previous episodes of this website, you can this podcast. You can go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, our Twitter account, which is at 8bitlife podcast. And of course, if you want to help this podcast grow, become bigger, better, more awesomer, if you got like a few bucks to throw my way, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife.
All right. Okay. Oh, yeah. And also, I have BMoney48 on Twitter.
There you go. And of course, tune in next time when I talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
Peace.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.